marketing problems faced. So what kind of problems that a marketing man faces? This is what is listed. It starts from the whether do you need a new product, you need to replace products. It goes right up to the advertising, effectiveness of the advertising, behavior of the consumer, post-purchase behavior and product disposal behavior, etc. So there is a huge and there is a long list that can come in front of you, which can support that these are the various nature of problem that a marketing people face, for which research can be of help. So let's understand the importance of marketing research to the marketing people. Helps in intelligent decision making, opportunity taping, profit maximization, increasing the sale and new product acceptance, and minimizing the business risks. First point, intelligent decision making means every decision has a risk in it, but calculated risk, as we say, or intelligent decision making means you have various point of information which indicates that there is an opportunity. That opportunity taping needs certain things to be decided by you, and you have decided on that particular point in that direction. So it's a intelligent decision that yes, I am taking a risk, but I have point of information available which suggests that this is a gap there in the market, and this gap I am going to tap by doing either new product, by reinventing the existing product, by playing on the pricing, something. So that's what intelligent decision making. Opportunity taping, you determine through various ways there is a gap exist, or there is a new change, the trend that is going to happen in behavior of the individual, and you prepare for it. So that's an opportunity taping. Then profit maximization. You realize that now consumers are no more very price sensitive, etc. So you try to get into the league of increasing your price in a manner that you maximize your profit, or you implement a technology that will reduce your costs. And so various ways, increasing the sale. How am I going to increase my sale? So for example, Cadbury, very classic case study we all know. Once upon a time, it was a Cadbury is a Cadbury. It is just once in a while to eat things. Today, be it Raksha Bandhan, be it Eid, be it family celebration, kuch meetha ho jaye. So this has not happened just as it is. Somebody did a very intelligent understanding of consumer buying behavior, realized the gap, and that gap he has translated into a product. Product and marketing communication has led to increasing the sale. New product acceptance, you are devising new product, you are developing and introducing new product. How do you make people accept this, and minimizing the business risks? These are the areas where marketing research can play a vital role. That's why it is important. So these are the friends, six areas, the need and importance of MR. This is the undisputed areas where marketing research really play a vital role. We will study them one by one. So I'm not really taking and narrating them out here. Provides valuable data, unearths consumers' behavior, selecting suitable sales promotion techniques, supplies market related information. Then you have to have a company to evaluate your performance and then offer important support. It goes in a very logical manner, friend. If you see, right from data to behavioral understanding to knowing your own performance, then gather the information which is translated into make the required marketing move and then important support. So let's take them one by one. Provides valuable data. So this valuable data means it's like there is a lot of data is being thrown at you. Is everything valuable? No. So you have to decide, you have to identify what is it that you need. That is going to help you to be sensitive about something right or something not so right happening in your market, and that's where your eye should be. So this particular marketing research can help you in that area. Data which will help you to extract information and inferences. So what a data is useful? Something which is if related, something if which is observed, you are able to determine and infer certain things. So did I declined the price here. Today now the automobile industry in the wake of the recessionary pressure are throwing money and they are like literally giving you huge discount. Is it leading to the sale? If it is, no, why? So that's what research can come and give you the data about it. And inferences helps you to take proper decision. If there is an inferred information, the decision making is easy. So that's what, you know, provides valuable data. So these are the areas of data. Data in itself, the way right data collected, right inferences are drawn, inferences helping you to take decision, provides data like projected demand, supply, behavior, price sensitivity, etc. So these are the areas where marketing gets beaten, or these are the areas from where marketing can extract in opportunities. Marketing research always moves ahead of what is happening, ahead of time, and then it throws the changes, it throws the trends, etc. This trend, if monitored well and understood well, you can translate into a marketing opportunity. Another, consumer behavior. Statistics like age, gender, income, its relevance to the kind of things that I use, buy, own, etc. How do I do, where do I do from, you know, at what frequency do I do from, etc. All those unearth consumer behavior. Yeah, it helps in proper forecast and then develops appropriate marketing plan. Friends, in this point, I would like to recently connect with you. It's not that I am into this marketing for over 3 decades, but recently various publications have come out with a very interesting article. It is available also on the social media. How do you determine the health of any country's economy? One parameter beyond GDP and those things, as they say, is the undergarment sale. Will you believe it? And so they have been able to relate during the recessionary time, this consumption go down. During the good time, people are free to buy as many times they want to change or replace, etc. So see, these are that. So it's like, you know, gives you the factor which is going to help you to take certain decision, derive certain inferences, etc. A selection of the sales promotion techniques. So there are various sales promotion techniques that you need to use. These are the areas which will help you to decide what, if applied, will influence what part of my consumer's buying behavior. And that's where you are going to generate the call of action. Supplies marketing information. It provides you various kinds of marketing information, past, current, future, current, etc. The trend in a manner, the relativity, elasticity of price versus demand, etc. Upcoming threats or opportunities for you, etc. So this is what is the marketing research brings for you in terms of marketing information. Evaluates marketing performance. Having spent money, having done certain marketing activity, you want to evaluate how good or bad have you done. So this is what is marketing research. Again, in various areas it can do for you and then provide you that required information, performance based. Another important support, yaane, it helps you to improve your marketing success rate, leverage brand and brand image and goodwill, etc. Growth and expansion plans can be successfully handled. And if you have a good marketing understanding, your vendor, channel partners, etc. can be really benefiting by the way you execute your marketing programs and bring all around a growth in your volume. And that is what is they want. And so these are the other aspects that we have understood importance of marketing research. Limitations and obstacles in marketing research, very quickly. Budgetary constraints, time constraints, reliability of data and legal and ethical constraints. I will not get into one by one, but it's like get into this aspects. Budgetary constraints and marketing research is a costly affair. To do it on a continuous basis, you really require a justification. You really require to provide budget, because one question that always stumbles upon and which always, like, you know, puts a problem before the issue is like, does it really guarantee you success? So nobody is able to guarantee you success out of your market research findings. Time constraints, it requires time, and based on the technique selected, based on technique needed to understand, etc., you have to give a time. You cannot expect a overnight or a short time within which the result to come, etc. Data reliability and all, there are various consumer orientation of mind when somebody is asking question to the kind of research technique that you chose, the tool that you took, and whether it is a personal interview, telephoning, etc. All this impacts and brings the bias in front of it, bias of the manager, bias of the research person who's doing the research, etc. Many things create some limitations for the marketing research. Legal and ethical constraints, and there are a lot of countries have certain legal constraints, there are certain ethical issues. We will study that to some extent. So this is what I wanted to connect with you, is like applying standards of fairness. What it says that random sampling, stratified sampling, all this is fine. You must provide fair amount of opportunity to the respondents to appear for the interview. Time should be made available. Sample is well defined, etc. So what comes out is the three areas, yani, where generally things go wrong: deceptive practice, invasion of privacy, and breach of confidentiality. In a desperation to get consumers to really respond to you, you probably may resort to deceptive technique, or as we say today in social media, digital tools, etc. There are a lot of deceptive things are done to track our movement, track our usage, track our behavior, etc. What we see, what we dislike, etc. Invasion of privacy, yani. So when you request the person willing to interview you, whether you are allowing a freedom, whether you are allowing a privacy. So there is a thin line between allowing privacy vis-a-vis him agreeing to allow you a interference in his life, etc. All matters, yani. And then breach of confidentiality. The data once obtained, source analyzed, if it is used for some other client, if it is used for some other purpose without being informed to the consumers or without being informed to your client, etc., that's a breach of confidentiality. You pass on that information. So today a lot of our likes, dislike based, our profiles are getting, transferred to the other social media marketeers without our knowing it. So that's the breach of confidentiality. Like, I feel, I wish this app need not do this kind of a thing. I'm not naming it, but most popular apps are found to be breaching confidentiality in them. Yeah. Being transparent and being unbiased, etc. So you have to not allow your bias to come in. Your questionnaire design should be such that, it allows the freedom of expression. Your interviewers are trained to collect information as it is without putting his bias in it, etc. So these are some of the limitation areas in which one specific is the ethics in marketing. So we move on to understand the types of marketing research. This is a list, yani. In the book, in fact, there is a much longer list. You take any areas of marketing and there is a research technique available for that, yani. I am not going to write today. We are not going to study all of them one by one, etc. As we go forward, some of them are covered. Not that everything is going to get covered, but I am coming to essence of the marketing research. So that is the secondary main sources of data. Main sources are primary and secondary sources. We are going to have a separate chapter on this. So therefore, I am going to be a little fast. Primary is the collected information, while secondary is all available, published, open to all kind of information sources. And so that is what this is. The nature of MR can be looked at as an exploratory research or conclusive research. Exploratory is like you are trying to just check, you are trying to just determine, you are just trying to evaluate the risk, you are just trying to evaluate opportunity. These are all kind of research. When they are done, they are exploratory in nature. The conclusive research, and based on this, a decision is going to be made about your entry or your exit from the project. Entry, then it's what level the investment needed, etc. So depending on the gap that you identified, you may identify that there's a 10 lakh tons of shortage about this particular type of a product, but you may say that I will come up with a plan to manufacture 4 lakh tons, or you have a choice of producing 10 lakh tons because that's a gap in the market. So that's what all investment decisions and entry into the new market, entry of new product, diversification of the portfolio, etc. These are all conclusive research, yani, based on which equity, people and various other aspects are getting linked. Okay. So then based on questioning also, there is a classification. We will, as we move forward, we will try and see based on observations. So this is what two areas, and that's what I have written it below. On the questioning, you have a qualitative and quanti MR. So it's like a, most of the questions are such that overall it can be evaluated as a quantified information. In the qualitative, it is all open-ended questions like, sir, why do you like this product? And then you allow consumer to say whatever that he wants to say. These are all qualitative. But there are certain research which has to be only qualitative. There are certain research which has to be only quantitative. or there are certain research where both needs to be balanced. On the observation, then you have ethnographic studies and experimental techniques. Yani. So this is the two things which is very important. However, it is covered only out here. Experimental is a bit covered as we move forward in the other chapter. So let's understand what is this. Yani. So some of them are explained to what is qualitative MR. Yani. Used for exploratory purpose. Yani. Qualitative is generally used for exploration because you are just trying to understand certain things. It's a decision making to your exploration, to your thought. It's a thought building activity that you probably are doing. You therefore don't require a large population. It's okay to have a small batch, not intended for generalization to the entire population. Like you really cannot say out of this research qualitative MR that it is applicable to all, yani, which is not the case when it comes to quantitative MR. Quantitative MR, because it uses the power of statistical tools of sampling and probabilities, etc. Whatever that you find out of your statistical sample is applicable to the population, which is not the case with the qualitative MR. Yeah. Statistical significance, confidence not required. Say opinion poll. We all have seen in the recent 2019 opinion poll, some were predicting 330 plus seats to BJP, somewhere in the areas of 267. Now at the back end of it, on the sample size they selected and various confidence level, etc., that they have agreed with the client, that determines, which is not the case with this kind of thing. It's an exploratory, and you are just trying to understand things. Okay. Examples are focus group, projective techniques. And focus group is like collective people are meeting and discussing, or projective techniques are like you have been told to complete a situation, scenario, or a statement. Now, from there, you cannot really quantify things onto the larger population. Therefore, such kind of research are qualitative research for the limited purpose of exploration. As such, quantitative MR is a decision-making market research. You want to estimate the demand. You want to know what price sensitivity that your brand is attached to. You want to have the new product introduced and want to know what is the future demand or substitution. Everything is so quantifiable that you want to know. You get into quantitative MR, and a survey, questionnaire, demand forecasting, correlation, regression, all this come under quantifiable, quantitative market research. Based on observation, ethnographic studies, and we have seen experimental. Under ethnographic, it is like by nature qualitative orientation. Yani. So ethnographic is again linked to a qualitative nature of MR. However, social phenomena is observed in their natural setting. You observe things happening as they are happening, yani, and you observe them where they are happening. So it's a very natural setting based observation. This thing that has been done. Observations can be made at one time. Either you can do it at one time or over a period of time. Yeah. You continue to do every 3 months, you continue to do every 6 months, once in a year or whatever, and then you try and compare the current trend over previous period, etc. So that's what it tells you. Example, point of sale buying behavior, product usage, etc. So mall activity or mall shops, the shops that I have in malls, is it selling more during festival time, or is it whatever? So those kind of things. Then this ethnographic, longitudinal or cross-sectional kind of research can be practiced by you. Experimental techniques are the one wherein by nature, quantitative in nature. So they try and answer you quantitatively so that decision making is possible. Social phenomena is observed in quasi-artificial environment. Now that's what you need to understand here. A researcher tries to manipulate certain variables to see its impact on one specific factor, yani, on demand. So they will try to manipulate either price somewhere, they will try to manipulate discount somewhere, they will try to manipulate offer of say 1+1 somewhere, and they try to research this, yani, how does this impact consumers. So that's what, yani, the quasi artificial environment, they create these things, yani. So some shops, they will declare offer, some shops they will declare lower price. So all this has been done in that way to study how that consumer behavior changes. Examples are purchase laboratory, test market we do, yani, before entering national, you do it in some small part of the country, sell the product with the same price, same offer, etc., what that you visualize, and you try and understand the response And that's what is a quasi experimental environment. So that's what is the experimental technique that we are trying to make you understand. So friends, having understood this, there are research and its advantage for various nature of business. This one highlights the importance of marketing research for the B2B, as well as there is a marketing research advantages for the international. B2B is like, you know, small non-profit organizations can do secondary research and use that to their advantage. They probably can do more exploratory research and then refine their decision making. They probably may not be able to do experiment research. They probably may not be able to do more quantifiable or quantitative research because there is a budgetary constraint, etc. But using secondary source of data, using generalized way of exploring various things, etc., and deriving at certain conclusions, that same thing can be practiced by B2B people or by small and medium scale enterprise. All this thing is done to still face the challenges of marketing, new product, new market, behavioral understanding, performance of the marketing activities, etc. So that's what is. So marketing research is equally important for B2B also. In the international market also, which country to go, when to go, the cultural difference there. There are many aspects that international marketing research can also reveal for you. So with this, we have understood first chapter, which is in short, what is marketing research? And under that, various aspects of marketing research we have understood. Thank you, friends.